Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, welcome back to Carolla Classics for part two. Let's go back to June of 2010. Teresa Strasser, Brian Bishop in studio.
Adam Carolla Show 343. This is 11 episodes into the format switch. We've played a chunk of this opening before where Adam talks about taking his kids to Marie Callender's and his daughter having to use the restroom. It's a super cute story. And then there's an actually even funnier opening chunk where Adam's doing like a live read for the school of some kind, like a bartending school. And in there, Teresa impersonates his mother who's doing Chicano studies at local, you know, Valley College. And it's a funny thing, but it's part of an ad. So I left that part out. We left out the story. This one starts immediately at the news and runs until their guest, Shooter Jennings, arrives, which will be played tomorrow in the Carolla Classics feed. Until then, this is just Adam, Teresa, and Brian, the classic group, 11 episodes in, doing the news. Real flashback. Check it out.
From the International News Center, next to Donnie's Mini Bikes, this is the news with Teresa Strasser.
Jodie Foster is being accused of attacking a 17-year-old boy. According to Radar Online, the two-time Oscar winner pushed and shoved the unidentified teenager because he was taking pictures of her at the Grove.
Hold on, let me beat off. All right, I'm done.
Okay, that was it?
That's it.
Please tell me you weren't thinking of the accused, but more of Panic Room.
I had a little each.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe Nell?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not a lot of conversation after, you know, you just snuggle and
yeah,
no one talks.
That was a weird movie, wasn't it?
Did you see it?
Yeah, I saw Nell. She was like...
She was a feral...
She was like, she was like speaking in tongues.
I just read a book that was a true story of a girl who was found, and apparently there's a window for learning language, and if that window shuts, you can never learn how to form a sentence. I think it's around, you know, between 2 and 6.
Yeah.
So they tried to teach her how to speak, but they couldn't.
Yeah. Poor Liam Neeson. Do that. I think he was in that.
Oh, he was.
I don't know if he ended up falling in love with her or screwing her or what happened. But, yeah, anyway. So, yeah, taking pictures, camera.
Yeah, this.
At the Grove?
At the Grove, yeah, which is a shopping center.
Can I say this about the Grove? You know, just about everything you see on TMZ takes place at the Grove.
And there's a lot of shit going down over there.
I'm just saying, if you're a celebrity, like, I believe these people should have their privacy, but I also believe you got to be smart about it. And if you're Jodie Foster and you go into the Grove, you're going to get shot.
Yeah, and by the way, you could go to the exact same mall in Glendale. They have the Americana. It's virtually the same thing.
Right.
But no paparazzi are going into Glendale.
No.
Are they?
No, it's a handful of Armenian teenagers going to, look at this bitch from Accused.
They're more a fan of Taxi Driver. According to the family of this 17-year-old, the teen felt terrible about upsetting the actress and apologized profusely, but Jodie was enraged.
Ooh.
In fact, the teen says that Jodie's kids were even embarrassed by her actions and went over to apologize to the teen.
The kids went over to apologize.
Yeah, they were embarrassed because
Jodie...
Hold on, I
got to beat off again for different reasons.
Pause.
Okay, I'm good.
Because Jodie poked the kid on his chest. So her kids were embarrassed and they apologized. And according to the kid, this left a really bad impression on my son about her. Sorry, that was according to the kid's dad. The mother. Jodie's rep tells People that the story is a fabrication and that the person with the camera was definitely professional paparazzo. Said the rep, he had a large camera bag and a 1,000-millimeter telephoto lens. He tailed Jodie and followed her all the way from the movie theater to the valet.
I tend to believe Jodie on this one, and I don't know who has to get killed again. I thought this Princess Di thing would kind of fix things over 10 years ago now, I guess. It really hasn't. Somebody's going to bite it again. Jones, I believe.
Yeah, we were just getting to that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry for stepping on
it.
No,
it's a perfect segue.
Just got into a car accident and then had to kind of flee the scene and then come back.
She's Betty Draper from Mad Men.
Right.
January Jones.
Right.
And she has been accused of leaving the scene of a car accident here in L.A. on Thursday. TMZ report, this did not take place at the Grove, reported that Jones lost control of her vehicle around 9 p.m., hitting other cars and causing major damage. She then fled on foot after saying, "I can't deal with this commotion." She eventually returned and was not cited or arrested. According to police, Jones told them she was being chased by paparazzi, as you said, when she lost control of her vehicle and hit three parked cars. Instead of sitting and letting paparazzi harass her, she left her license and then walked home and called 911. When the dispatcher told Jones the cops had arrived at the scene, she returned. No breathalyzer tests were taken because the cops did not suspect alcohol. But TMZ later reported that a woman whose car was hit claimed that she smelled alcohol on Jones' breath. But they did not test her. Now, the story...
Yeah.
The story... First, I thought, do paparazzi chase January Jones? I mean, she is hot. But then... I read that she had been making news because they got these amazing walk of shame photos of her where she was wearing the same outfit she'd been wearing the night before, getting out of a cab. Mm-hmm. So she was photographed at an event in a little cute little dress. Mm-hmm. And then the next day, she was photographed getting out of a cab in the same dress with her hair all disheveled. And
she fucked the cab driver?
Oh, my God.
That's got to be it.
There could be no other explanation.
So, big deal. She spent the night out.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Perhaps with a friend.
Sure.
But these pictures made the rounds on the internet, so maybe this is why paparazzi would be interested in following her.
Again, I know I just sound like a broken record here, but the notion that you're allowed to sort of just profit, forget about the privacy part of it, the profit part of it, the part where you just film people and then they essentially star in your TV show.
Yeah.
I mean... You accept advertising on your TV show, or you accept advertising for your magazines, or you charge for your magazines. You know, it's all about profit. All these laws that we have in place, most of them sort of surround, did you make money off it? Which is to say, you could call something McDonald's, or you could use somebody's music, or do something. But really, at the end of the day, if you weren't charging people to come into your establishment, or you weren't selling them something... They don't win the case. There's really nothing they can do. They can tell you, stop using our Beach Boys song. But unless you're using it for something, you're essentially putting it underneath a commercial or attempting to sell something using someone else's likeness or using something they've created or logo or name or what have you. That's when the sort of law makes the distinction of using something versus profiting off of something. And you're clearly profiting off it. There's a television show called TMZ that just uses this. There are these magazines that exclusively use this. There's much... I mean, what do you think is generated every year if you took all these websites, you know Perez Hilton...
And, yeah, Radar Online,
whatever,
TMZ.
All this stuff. And then you took all the tabloid magazines...
Weekly, People in Touch.
Tabloid TV shows, what have you. I mean... We're in to the billions of dollars. It's like a multi-million dollar industry, yes?
Right. And, you know, she wanted to get into show business and be an actress, but did that mean that she had to have her self-photographed with her, you know, shoes in her hand and her panties in her bag? I'm just guessing from the looks of the photo.
Well, and then sold.
From my personal experience.
But here's the point. Then sold. That's the thing. The picture was sold. It's not the point where they take the picture, although I don't like that either. Like, I wouldn't want people randomly just being able to take pictures of you or your kids or your husband
or
whatever else. But then I'm going to sell it, and then it's going to end up everywhere.
And why should she be embarrassed when she should be lauded? Because she is taking a cab instead of having driven home drunk the night before. I mean, just assuming she was partying.
Right.
You know, better to spend the night elsewhere.
But again,
get a cab home.
To me, morals aside, I can beat off to this as well. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'll put that in the spank bank because I'm in my refractory period from the Jodie Foster story.
Twice.
Morals aside, just the idea that these assholes are buzzing around the airport, bothering people, shooting their kids, profiting, just profiting. And look, here's the deal. We did Crank Anchors. We did Crank Anchors, and they said, hey, you can't do Crank Anchors from Los Angeles. And I said, why not? They said, it's illegal. You can't call people and record them without them knowing about it. And we said, yeah, but what if we get a release from them afterward? And they said, you still can't do it. It's illegal. You can't record people and profit from them. Even if they sign a release, they need to know in advance. So then we ended up going to Vegas to do it. But once we did it, we could use no calls unless those people signed a release. We had to say to them, we want to put you on TV. And they'd say either fuck you or thank you, or we'd give them a Crank Anchors windbreaker and they'd say thank you, or gift certificate to the aforementioned Applebee's. But either way, they had to sign something saying they could use this. What's the part where there's no consent given? I don't understand.
If you're in a public place, it's fair game to photograph you.
But then sell it?
Yeah, it is weird, isn't it?
They're selling it. They're profiting.
Yeah.
They're making money off a celebrity. And by the way, it's off a celebrity. They're making money from a person's celebrity. When they're taking a picture of Harrison Ford, they're taking a picture. They're not taking a picture of the guy standing next to Harrison Ford that nobody knows. They're taking a picture of a celebrity. They're taking a picture of a guy who might not do commercials. And if he did, they'd be in Japan and he'd want $5 million to do them, right? They're taking that guy's picture and then they're selling it on their TV show.
Well, this is why some people wisely undercut the paparazzi. For example, when Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie had their twins, instead of being hunted by the paparazzi, they chose the outlet. They set the fee, and then I'm sure they donated it to some worthy cause.
It's shrewd, but it still doesn't correct the law. I mean, you have a wedding, and there's a helicopter buzzing just above your wedding,
and then
taking
Sean
pictures.
Penn gets pissed off and ruins my whole. Oh, that was Madonna.
Writes "fuck you" in the sand. But I just mean, shouldn't it? We have a billion and one laws. We have a billion and one laws. Shouldn't this be one of them? Don't you feel like it'd be a better society if these guys weren't running around and fucking with everyone? And
on the news, they have to like show people, you know, when they do like fat stories, they have to show them from the neck
back
down.
Yeah.
Well, here's the problem.
And Princess dies dead, really, because of this.
Yeah.
We didn't get a... Nobody...
Well, it starts with you. You're going to have to turn off TMZ, and I know it's one of your favorite shows, because if there wasn't a market for this footage, there would be no money to be made.
I agree with that, but it's sort of
so
like
it starts at home.
I'm looking
at the man in the mirror.
I agree.
There's a man in your mirror.
I agree, but it's really the same argument with drugs. It's like saying, you know, we shouldn't protect the border from Mexico with drug runners coming in because all we're doing is consuming them anyway, which is true, but it's never going to end.
Right, we're always going to have a fascination with celebrities' lives.
Yeah, we need both. We need people to shut the shows off and stop buying the magazines. On the other hand, these people need to be cut in, or you just have to sign a release. You can't film Sean Penn at LAX unless he signs a release. You can film it, but you can't air it.
Yeah, and I think there used to be sort of unspoken rules about kids, but maybe that's off now because Jodie Foster was with her kids.
The whole time we did the man show, we do man on the street shit all the time, and unless the person signed a release, we couldn't use it. And if you walked past the shot, we'd have to tile your face out.
Right, because you didn't sign a release.
You didn't sign a release, and we were profiting off it. All right. Don't understand it. Let's keep going.
And yet, we still seem to have a fascination with celebrities.
Yeah.
And what they're up to.
Sure.
So, I know I do. And Kate Hudson seems to be, which I wasn't that fascinated by her until I think she got a boob job. I can't be sure. Mm. But from photos, it looks as though she has, and that's been reported.
Well, she went from nothing to something.
Right. She previously married Black Crowes frontman Chris Robinson. She's been linked to Matthew Bellamy, frontman of the UK rock group Muse. Kate flew to Paris on Sunday. I thought you'd know that group.
You've never heard of them.
Muse or News?
Muse,
yes. Sorry.
Huey Lewis and the Muse.
That's right.
She flew to Paris on Saturday to watch the second of the band's sold-out shows.
This is reason 184 why I don't like Kate Hudson.
Why?
Always the rock and roll guy, always the jock, the athlete, always the front man, never just the regular dude.
Well, here's my issue on the boobs. Mm-hmm. I don't begrudge anybody a boob job. If that makes you feel better,
right.
God bless you.
Sure.
But can we revoke the bohemian card?
Yes.
You can't. You're not a free spirit anymore.
Yeah.
You're not a
nonconformist
anymore.
Right.
You're
got a boob job.
You were cut open to have round sacks of silicone put in your chest so that you could look like what men want you to look like.
I just beat off again.
Oh, my God.
Then?
Hat trick.
Again, I don't mind.
Yeah,
but
don't play the "I'm just a flower child roaming the earth."
I do my own thing. I dance to the beat of my own drum. But now I have a boob job, so I can't look at anybody.
Oh God! I just hold her movies against her more than anything else. I really do. Oh, and her kid.
Ryder.
I hated the fact that she had her kid with the long blonde
hair. Because she's a free spirit, and she can't do
what
other people do.
But everyone thinking her son was her daughter for the first 8 years of the kid's life is fucking torture. Sexually confusing for the kid.
Isn't it? I know. Yes. I had the opposite problem where my grandma cut all my hair off.
Oh, really?
Go, oh, your grandson's so cute.
Oh, I thought they were going to say
pug. That's why there's a man in here.
Well, I was slept with my gum, and it got in my hair, and I guess she couldn't get it out, so she had her neighbor cut off all my hair, and then I looked like a boy.
Wow.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Jesus Christ.
Little Ryder with his long hair. I think maybe
extra
they cut it off.
Extra from Schindler's List.
Oh, no. Hiding in a toilet.
So, Kate Hudson seems to have a new guy. That's her type.
Yeah.
The rocker type.
I'm sure it'll last forever.
You like Huey Lewis in the news?
God, did I just hear a baby cry?
I thought I heard a baby cry. Why, did you lactate?
Yeah.
Because I might have to
That actually does happen. Dante gross you out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is our guest here?
I think our guest is here. We have relationship advice we want to do.
Yeah.
I don't know what we should do. Well, maybe we'll bring... I'll tell you what. Let's do the relationship advice, and then we'll bring Shooter in. You want to do that?
Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. We'll get to the rest of the news at the end of the show.
Teresa Strasser and the news. Fuck you, CNN.
All right. I'm going to just... T, you got a call you like?
Yeah. I like line three.
Line three. Let's try this out. Hey, Alex?
Yeah.
You have a question? Relationship question?
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just recently started dating some girl. And you know how, like, whenever you start seeing someone new, in the back of your mind is always, like, oh, when are the sex questions going to come up?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they came up, and I found out that she's had sex with 8 guys already, and she barely started having sex, last year.
It says 80 on the screen.
That's why I picked the call.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, this is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Although, how old is she?
I'm going to adjust my answer. Hold on. Okay?
I made
the adjustment.
Alex, how old is this gal?
She's 19. She lost her virginity on Halloween of all days.
Mm-hmm.
And so that averages out to like 8 guys a month.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just wondering Halloween?
But 8 guys a month? You're doing the math. Look, Alex, please listen to me. And I'm going to speak to you as if I was speaking to a 20-year-old virgin of myself. I almost said virgin. I did say virgin. Virgin of myself. Virgin of myself. Are you listening to me, Alex?
Yeah.
Just do what the fuck I tell you to do. Understand I know 10 times as much, and I'm being kind.
Goodbye!
Here's the deal. You're not going to marry this woman, okay? You're 20 years of age.
Yeah.
You shouldn't even be thinking about marriage for another decade. Do you understand?
Yeah, no, I don't want to. Yeah.
Yes, okay. And you should not be thinking about kids for another decade.
No, I don't want kids at all anyway.
You as a male, especially the age you're at and the way we're going, there's just no reason to get married in your 20s anymore, and you sure the fuck shouldn't have any kids in your 20s. So, this is going to be easy. You're not going to marry this girl, and you're not going to have any kids with her. So who the fuck cares?
Yeah.
Because if you think about all the people you've dated, and Brian,
mm-hmm.
Think about the beanbag chair you used to hump in high school.
Those are good times.
Yeah. T, you think about many of the guys you used to date. And all the gripes you had, and all the little pet peeves, and the concerns, and all the little who'd she sleep with, who'd he sleep with, ooh, he slept with one of my friends once, and I kind of hold it against him, or blah, blah, blah. It's all just dust in the wind now, because you never ended up with that person. Yet it fucked you up while you were with them.
Yeah, in the moment, it seems like a huge, insurmountable problem, yet in the scope of things, you probably won't even remember it.
No, I wish... When I think back on all my previous relationships, I just ate and fucked and had it and pulled out.
Right.
And had a good time. Sounds like a Dean Martin song. Eating and fucking and pulling out.
That's a B-side. Deep cut.
So you're suggesting to Alex...
No, what I'm saying is, like, I wish someone would have, like, tapped me on the shoulder and said, look, I know you're up in your head about this chick right. because she slept with more dudes than you've slept with chicks, or she slept with your buddy a year ago, or she did this, or she did that, or whatever the gripe was, whatever I was up in my head about that you get up in your head about as a 20-year-old male.
Yes.
I wish someone had just went, look, man, you're not going to be with her in 3 years. Why not enjoy the ride, literally? Like, just have a good time.
And eat, no, yeah.
Fuck and pull out.
That's it.
And don't get her pregnant.
Right.
Don't buy her a ring.
Don't catch VD or give it.
But listen, don't fucking backhand her or anything. Just fucking enjoy. You're not getting married to her. So what if she slept with 100 guys? If she doesn't have a disease, so be it.
Last week, I ran into my ex, Steve Agee.
Alex, are you going to do that?
Yeah, totally.
Who cares?
See?
Believe me, you're going to be my age soon, and you're going to look back at all this shit, and you're just going to laugh.
Yes.
Unless you get her pregnant. And unless you marry her.
Correct.
Yeah, my point...
How old are you?
What are the three... I just turned 46. What are the three main beats I just gave you?
Fucker. Well, number one, fucker.
Well, no. I was eating, but go ahead.
Number two, who cares?
Mm. Okay, that's half a point. It's too that?
Late. What? Number two.
I mean, that was the philosophical...
What's the Dean Martin song?
I forgot.
Number three...
Eating and fucking and pulling out.
Right.
Don't get her pregnant. Don't marry her. And don't get up in your head. Don't hold it against her. Don't screw around with her. Just enjoy.
Three times, yeah. Fool.
Yes, as I got
one more question.
All right.
Alex, just let me say briefly to finish my story about running into Steve Agee. Cannot remember for the life of me why we broke up. Can't remember. I mean, at the time, I'm sure I had hours-long conversations with all my friends about what to do. Now, I just don't even remember.
Yeah.
So, much as Alex will not remember his issue with this gal.
And by the way, it's hard to leave the house without running into Steve Agee. He's literally as big as the sun. I thought you were gonna try to remember why you started dating him. That would be
more
poignant.
He was so sweet.
Equal difficulty.
And I had to get away from Brian Dunkelman.
Sweet because he sweats sugar. He's a big man. Hey, Randy?
Yeah?
What's going on?
How are you?
Good to speak to you. Question, please.
The question I have is it's a two-parter kind of, with the government messing up with catastrophes going on. I have a young lady that's quite a squirter. I'm kind of worried whenever we're together if I can rely on FEMA to come every time she's getting off.
I wish you weren't a liar.
We got to get a new phone screener.
This is good stuff.
You want to get BP involved here? Should we get Costner's brother in on this one?
Well, the problem that I'm having, I'm wondering if I should put sandbags around the bed or if I had to go up to the roof and wait for a helicopter.
Well, you can't trust the levees. We learned that the hard way.
Yeah.
Who's great these calls?
Spike Lee told me about it on a flight to New York. You got to remove the sandbag from between your ears.
We're going to break down. I got to fire
good
a call
stuff,
screener.
Randy.
All right, Laura.
Yeah.
What's up? Laura.
Yes.
What's going on?
Hi. I'm calling you. Is this Adam?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, cool.
Yes. What's up?
I'm calling because you're very opinionated, and I want to know how to make that work in a relationship, how to be in a relationship and sort of disagree with someone that you're with all the time.
You know, you have to stifle yourself. You have to realize that, you know, when to hold up and when to fold up when it comes to your opinion. And to be honest, your partner has to learn to tune you out. It's not so much about me not talking. It's about Lynette not listening.
I would suggest there's a difference between I host a podcast opinionated and I'm a 23-year-old New Yorker opinionated.
Yeah, but still, it's the same idea. You're talking about a symbiosis where one creature just complains incessantly and one is able to tune out that complaining.
Mm-hmm.
So it works.
Right. Oh, my God, it's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, I do a lot of complaining. She does a lot of tuning out. And
Papi.
That's about it. I know. And, you know, the only real comedy comes is when people come up to her and go, what must it be like to be married to this fountain of information and opinions and comedy? She's like, yeah, I'm going to fall. I'd fall on a crocheting needle if she owned one.
No, I think when it's hard, if, you know, not to speak for Lynette, but sometimes when you have her trapped in the car and then a bad song comes on.
Yeah, that's where it really
kicks in. She is strapped in and you're traveling at, you know, 60, 70 miles an hour. She can't get out. She's going to have to hear about Maneater.
Listen, the biggest complaint comes is when, we're driving in the car and we switch over to the satellite 80s channel. And I got to hear Maneater or worse, just some fucking bad 80s hair, you know, Pour Some Sugar on Me or just some Little Pink House.
I said bad.
Yeah. Just some fucked out John Cougar song or something. And I'm like, can we just once can I hear a fucking Elvis Costello song come through these fucking speakers? It's the 80s or the Pretenders. Just fucking once could I hear a decent song.
How many times do you think your wife has heard that?
Oh, my God. And I'll tell you when she really gets in trouble is when I call it. Like, when I'm sitting there and I'm like, Soft Cell. I know, and I can hear,
Tainted Love.
Tainted Love. And we'll switch the song, and it'll be the end of Hip to Be Square, and then it'll go into Tainted Love. And I'll go like, God damn! I'm fucking programming the station! Jesus Christ! I'm so fucking livid and angry at how we've fucking dumbed our society down and how we punish our own ears with this shit and how these pussy, motherfucking, cocksucking, spineless fucking ass fucks who programmed those 80 stations and played just a fucking cavalcade of fucked out horrible songs from the 80s. And yes, this is exactly what she hears. And then, God forbid, if Born in the USA comes on, then she's in a... Or Glory Days. Oh, she's right. In a world of hurt because she loves Bruce. And I'm like, you know what? Bruce is a pretty good musician. I'm surprised he plays this song in concert. And she's like, this is a good song. And I'm like, Glory Days is not a good song. It's a decent song at best. And if Bruce is the musical genius that he is, he'd probably be embarrassed by this song, much like when I look back at some of my comedy bits from when I was 20 or 21. I think, ugh, it's embarrassing. I certainly wouldn't do them now. And that's when the real arguments come, when I turn on Bruce. But Jesus fuck, do I have to hear Glory Days one more time?
Well, I think we've solved Laura's problem.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wonder if does Laura fancy herself as very opinionated?
You know, I love Elvis Costello, so definitely I could see myself getting in a fight about that. But
good.
I mean, I think it's just tough. Like, let's say you're dating someone who hates Elvis Costello. Like, what do you do?
Well, they're imbeciles, and you could shoot them in the head, and you just get manslaughter.
All right.
Forget them. Don't date them. That's it. They're idiots. I mean, I don't worship at the altar of the guy. I like Graham Parker and John Hyde. I just use him as someone that people have heard of to say, why can't we play his music? So much fucking better than the shit.
But maybe Laura's had trouble because as a female, people don't appreciate hearing her opinions as much.
You know, the thing, I think there's, it's sort of like racism in that people are predisposed to tune out certain groups and certain, you know, they have certain preconceived notions and stuff like that. But I don't think anyone does that with Denzel Washington or you. Not that you're Denzel Washington, but what I'm saying is...
Well, there are a lot of similarities, obviously.
Yeah, you guys are mistaken for the same person all the time. No, what I'm saying is if you prove yourself, if you're female, like I might... If we went on our first date and you started blabbing on about something, I might go, oh, God damn. But at some point in a relationship, I would understand that you have an opinion, you're educated, you're articulate, and I should listen to what you have to say.
I would have to earn the right... To have
that's how it works.
Yeah,
but it would work that way.
If I'm gonna throw long, I got to keep a tight spiral.
That's right. I like that.
Well, thank you. Stole it from my dad.
All right, I think I tried it. Hey, Paul.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Get it on.
Get it on, Paul. Here we go. What's up?
Hey, love the new format. So my question is, I like you suffer from hypervigilance.
Sure.
And I've had a few relationships end basically over. A lot of the things you gripe about with your wife, you know, a lot of we've had this conversation 200 times. What you were saying the other day, if you would just apologize, we could move on. But, you know, someone's clearly in the wrong and clinging to their point. And given all that, I guess my question for you is, what advice would you have for someone like me, someone like yourself, in terms of dating? What type of person should I look for?
Well, I think what you have to look for is somebody... All you can look for in a mate is about the same thing you look for in a cop, which is just be reasonable. You know what I mean? Let's focus on the spirit of the law here. You know, if you have someone that's going to write you up for going 2 miles an hour faster than the speed limit, you're fucked, and you're always going to be fucked. You need to have someone who's just sort of open and reasonable, like where you just go, look, here's the reason why I think we should do this or I think we shouldn't do that. And there are a lot of folks, men and women, who just frankly aren't logical and they're not reasonable. I think all you can ask for is a sort of impartial judge, like someone you can plead your case to. And if you're wrong, you're having an argument or discussion, whatever it is, whether it's what movie we should see or what school to send the kid. If you're wrong, you're wrong. But if you're right, at least they're open to you being right. You know those people where you're having your discussion with them, you're sort of pleading your case with them, and you can tell all they're doing is waiting for your mouth to stop moving so they can shut you down and start talking over you or talk past you or whatever it is. They're not sitting there. You're not going to sway them, in other words. Like, they're not going to go.
That's most people.
It's most people who argue. It's not necessarily most people. It's a self-selecting group. You know, yeah. It's the people that are eager for the fray.
They want to tussle, and that's because they want to shove their point of view down your throat, not right. Listen to yours.
Right. But all I think you can ask for in a mate is someone who'll go, you know what? I've heard your point.
Let me think about it.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I'm not just going to there's some people that are like, I often use this analogy. It's like when you get a one of those rubbery chew toy things, and you give it to like a pit bull, and they grab on one end of it and they start pulling. All they do is pull the opposite direction, and then inevitably you'll spin around, so they're pulling the direction you used to be pulling, and you can go into a circle until infinity. It doesn't matter. You pull, they provide pressure the other direction. You don't want to be with one of those people. You want to be with a person that goes, all right. And by the way, this is for everything. You don't want to have a writing partner. You don't want to have a business partner. You don't want to collaborate with someone who can't go, all right, I hear you.
Yeah. Let me take a look at that.
Right. Yeah. That's about all you want. And if you have that, you're in great shape. Now, what you don't want is just some willow that blows in the wind either, who just because you say it goes fine, we'll do it, because you might not be right.
Yeah, that'll be fun for 3 months, and then a doormat will be very boring.
Yeah.
You don't want someone who just ignores the chew toy altogether.
Yeah. Right.
They have to sniff the chew toy.
Sniff it.
They have to pull on it.
Once or twice.
But they have to pick a direction and be consistent, not just pull the opposite way you're pulling.
Okay.
Thanks, Paul.
Good luck finding this.
If I encounter one of these, I should head for the hills and not try and change the person.
It's you're 26. If they're in their early 20s and they're open to change, yes. But if they're not open to it, then forget it. And, I wouldn't count on it anyway.
Quick break to remind everybody about Blinds Galore. Black Friday and Cyber Monday are right around the corner. Get to blindsgalore.com today and order up to 15 free samples so you're ready when the big sales start on November 23rd. All right, the experts at blindsgalore.com know how to get you a designer look without a designer price, and you can do it all right from home. I've seen Adam Carolla's windows at his house. I've seen Dr. Drew's windows at his house, and their windows look so good. And they use Blinds Galore. Just take your measurements, and you can customize it all online. They got custom blinds, shades, and shutters. They have it all. And they're a family-owned and run company. So that they've been doing this for over 20 years. So you know they know what they're talking about. They're experts at making it easy. They even have shades that can connect directly to your smart home, phone, or Amazon Alexa. So these are up-to-date, modern-looking shades and blinds. And if you have any questions, they have expert customer care that have covered over 2 million windows, and they'll be happy to help you every step of the way, either online or over the phone. You got to check it out. It's Blinds Galore, right, Gio?
BlindsGalore.com makes it easy to get the high-quality designer blinds and shades you've always wanted in your home. All at a great price. All at up to 45% off. See for yourself at blindsglore.com today and let them know Adam sent you. That's blindsglore.com.
And that's Teresa and Brian back in 2010. Now, before we get going to our next clip, I want to remind everybody, we're doing some live shows. Adam will be in Brea at the Improv. Guests TJ Miller and Patrick Warburton. He's doing two shows. TJ's on the first show, so make sure to get your tickets because those will sell out. Also, we'll be in Portland December 22nd and 23rd at the Helium, so make sure to get your tickets at adamcarolla.com. All right, we have one more clip for everybody today, and It's from 2009. We got Adam, Teresa, and the news.
This is Adam Carolla Show 117. The guest was Tom Folsom, an author, a Skype call. It's the opening 15 minutes or so, which is really kind of more of a promo-y thing. Didn't really have a reason to put in classics. Chop that out. This is the rest of the episode. Teresa and Adam doing the news. Sans Brian, presumably doing some medical stuff at the time. Really nice chunk. There will be no part two. It's before they switch formats, so it's a shorter format. But really fun to hear. Again, another great flashback to a time long ago now. Check it out.
Tebow.
Yeah.
You got some news for us?
I do. Now,
this is exciting.
This is exciting. Now, it's news-ish,
mm-hmm.
because this may be airing a day or two after this conversation.
Right.
But we got to talk about Michael Jackson.
Sure.
Now, more may come to light by the time you're hearing this, but as we speak, they are investigating his private physician, this guy Conrad Murray,
mm-hmm.
and most people seem to think that Conrad Murray was giving Michael Jackson propofol. Mm-hmm. Now, this is essentially a drug that's given in medical situations. It's an intravenous drip. They put you under.
Right.
And at least TMZ is reporting that he may have put Michael Jackson under and then fallen asleep.
He fell asleep.
Yeah, the doctor fell asleep.
Uh-huh.
That's one report. So they're, you know, searching his property now, but this is a very powerful anesthetic.
Mm.
Very powerful. And some reports are saying that Conrad Murray was hired. He was living in Michael Jackson's rented house.
Mm-hmm.
And every night, or frequently, he would put Michael Jackson under, basically, and use this drug like an alarm clock. Michael Jackson would say what time he wanted to wake up. Dr. Conrad would put him under, Conrad mm-hmm. Murray, and then wake him up, you know, stop the drip when Michael Jackson wanted to wake up.
Really?
That is, I mean, you know that I love drugs.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah, right, sure.
And I don't know if you've ever been, have you ever been put under?
Yeah. I have been put under when I had to have my shoulder, which was out of socket for 4 days. I claim that's my personal best. I claim it's got to be some sort of record, you know, for modern era North America. When my shoulder's out for 4 days, eventually the way they got it back in is they put me under completely to get it back in.
And they say, okay, I'm going to count backwards from 10,
yeah.
and then you're going to fall asleep, and you get to 8. Bye-bye.
Yeah. And by the way, what's with the charade with the counting backwards? First off, how about we just start from 1 and go forward, number 1. Number 2, how about I'll just tell you a high school football story, and at some point I'll start drooling, and that's how you know I'm out. Had my hernia surgery, got put out as well. I've probably been put out maybe 3-4 times. Always the best.
Oh, it's the best. I mean, yes, it can depress breathing, lower your heart rate and blood pressure, and thus a doctor should be. I mean, to imagine that this guy was so wealthy and had so much power that he could hire a guy to put him under at his home.
It is insane because, I mean, but maybe it's not. I mean, you know, I'm sure he was well aware of all the folks that came before him who, you know, popped a handful of pills and took some downers and mixed it with a little Southern Comfort and next thing you know, didn't wake up. So maybe in his mind, he was thinking, look, I'm not going to end up like Janis Joplin. I'm not going to end up like Bonzo. And I'm not going to end up like every drummer from every band in the 70s. I'm going to do this under the guidance of a physician.
Yeah, so maybe he was trying to be smart about it.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, all right, I'm a drug addict or I have the kind of life that needs me to be put sedated every night, but instead of doing what all these other guys do, but you know,
right, a Heath Ledger who just mixes
right,
things willy nilly,
handful of this, and I forgot. And by the way, I forgot what I took an hour
right.
ago and all that. I'll have a sober guy with a degree standing around to keep track of all this stuff.
Well, he was one cup of coffee away from it working because apparently this guy falls asleep and there's no one to monitor.
So the thing just keeps going, and as it keeps going, he just kept going.
Yeah, I mean, that's the report now that what may have happened is the doctor fell asleep while he should have been monitoring this IV drip. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this propofol, this is not an Ambien. I mean, it's not intended to be a sleeping pill. This is something to put you you know, under, out.
Right, right.
So it's very dangerous, and now it looks like, according to some court papers, that Dr. Murray may be the subject of a manslaughter investigation. We're going to be hearing a lot more about him and about that. And now there's, creepy for Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Creepy details about what was going on in his bedroom chamber.
Mm-hmm.
There are reports that the room was a shambles. It was very hot. Mm-hmm. There was, the heat was on. Fireplaces were going. Apparently, Michael Jackson was always hot. There were clothes and other items strewn about. There were handwritten notes stuck on the walls. One read, "Children are sweet and innocent and hot." No, it didn't say
that. Is there a hole in it?
So he'd been leaving himself notes, and it's messy. So now imagine this scene, that the temperature is stifling. And when authorities get there, there's clothes everywhere. There's gas fireplaces
on. Well, they went and showed some of that footage of Neverland, and the guy was a pack rat. And they went to the guy's house, and when you pull up to someone's car or someone's house, and you just get a little peek into it, and you go, this guy's nuts?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I was passing a car where there was a guy in the car, and I was seeing that there's a bunch of junk in the car. The part you can look, they say the eyes are the window to the soul, but the car is literally the windshield to the mind.
Yeah.
You see the guy with the bunch of boxes and shit piled up in the back of the car, and it's got the stuffed animals on there and the weird bumper stickers and all. The car looks disheveled.
You can tell.
You go, that guy's nuts.
Right.
Or that person.
Reflection.
Yeah, that's right.
This is how he's going through the world.
Now, picture them when they were going through Neverland. He had all those life-size figures everywhere and just junk stuffed everywhere. Just piled high, just kids' movies and paraphernalia and keepsakes. And when you went through the guy's house, you realize this guy's nuts.
Right.
I mean, he's rich and nuts, and we're used to poor and nuts. And poor and nuts, that's easy. Like poor nuts, you go, oh, man, this place smells like fecal matter, and he's been living off fucking Top Ramen and Night Train for the last 5 years. This is a disaster. But rich and nuts, that now you become eccentric. Oh, he's eccentric. No, he's not.
He's got nuts. A higher class of tchotchke, but he's still got a house filled with crap.
Yeah, what's the difference if your house is filled with just old box springs and mattresses and newspapers? I mean, just in the mental part. Or
right.
a bunch of Ming vases, Fabergé eggs, and, scepters. Either way, you're nuts. I mean, one is rich nuts, the other's poor nuts, but it's still nuts.
That's a good rich man, poor man. There's too much crap in your house.
Tons of clutter. Yes.
There was a porcelain doll wearing a dress found on top of the covers of the bed where Michael Jackson was sleeping, according to the official report. So you go in this place. It's hot. It's messy. There's a creepy doll. There's a note about children being sweet and innocent. And there's an IV line and 3 tanks of oxygen in the room where he slept. 15 more tanks in a security guard's shack.
Really? Tanks.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
know. But now the tank is a gas form, is it not? The oxygen tank.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. I don't know where the propofol. I imagine that they were searching this doctor's, they were searching his place in Texas, then they were searching his place in Vegas. But I think they're also looking for paperwork. I mean, they're looking to establish, was Jackson on this drug before? Did other doctors give him this drug? Or was this particular doctor guilty of manslaughter for doing something he never should have been doing?
Mm-hmm.
And again, as we speak, toxicology reports are not out, but it seems they're pending.
Right.
But they did find this drug in his house. And I after he died, I don't know about you, but I saw that Martin Bashir special so many times.
Mm-hmm.
My thoughts were being narrated by Martin Bashir. Okay, I couldn't stop hearing his voice. And they had that scene where he was at the store in Vegas and he was buying stuff.
Right.
And he just said, I'll take one of those. I have one of those. I want one of those.
And by the way, we spoke about it in an earlier podcast. Martin Bashir is what you want your doctor to look like.
Yes.
Not a guy wearing a bow tie who likes to go clubbing.
No, I want Martin Bashir. You're right.
Yeah.
If he came in a lab coat.
Yeah.
I would put him in charge.
Michael Jackson would still be alive.
You're right. Whereas Dr. Murray,
he's got that, I like to party with the ladies, and I'm eyeballing some rims for my Caddy Escalade. You don't want that in a doctor.
Well, here's a story just for Donnie. It's also drug related, but it's just pot. Donnie. Mm-hmm. So something I know is close to your heart. There's a new iPhone application that lets users find the nearest cannabis dealer. It's been approved by Apple. It's called simply Cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
For $2.99, you buy it. It lets users search by city for their nearest medical cannabis suppliers, doctors, clinics, lawyers if you get in trouble getting busted for pot, and other relevant organizations. It covers the 13 states here in the U.S. which have passed laws allowing medical cannabis use. Mm-hmm. And you can also find legal cannabis coffee shops across Europe. They use Google Maps to help you find them. And you can pull up cannabis-related news, menus, reviews, and videos soon.
Hmm. And then you hit another button and it shows you where the closest to Wiener Schnitzel is.
They really should have.
Really? Come on. Do the math. Yeah. I think there's a few down the street from where me and Donnie live. We live pretty close. Pretty close. And isn't it sort of game on now? Like, aren't these places all just turning into what all the squares were worried about? People are going to come in without legitimate medical problems or just get notes from, you know, Michael Jackson's doctor and go in there and just score themselves some weed. It's just sort of game on now, right?
Yeah, I don't think we care. I think we've got bigger fish to fry with, you know, the healthcare crisis, the recession, and the war.
Yeah,
I think anybody cares.
I think Barack is sort of quietly making this one go away, and so be it. No one gives a shit about this. And these cannabis stores, the part I like is the science of it now, where it's like, well, this one's good if you want to party.
Oh, yeah.
And this one's good if you have a headache. And this one's good if you're feeling stressed out. And this one will bring you down. And this one's good if you have a chocolate lab. But this one's good if you have a blonde lab. Like, they're really pinpointing this stuff now.
Yeah, one is more of a head high and one's a body high.
All right. I smoked hash with my river guide fishing a month ago, and I don't feel like I've been right since. So.
Really?
Yeah.
It messed you up?
It screwed up the actual fishing trip that day. I got too high on the river. Hooking fish when you're really high is not
any way to go. No, we've talked about this. This is the problem. If you even get just a little too high, you can't go back.
Right.
Seems like with drinking, you can moderate your buzz.
No, you can't go back. Can't go back. Yeah. And for you and I, where our brain becomes a dangerous weapon that will start turning on itself, it's no good. So I got too high. So it's been a little while.
So that day was messed up, and now...
I'm just, you know what? I should have stuck with the pot. I went to the hash. Well, I didn't want to go to the hash, but he gave me smoked the hash. And eventually, by the way, they have hash now. I don't know how they make this hash, but it's strained through ice and pushed through a, you know, gauze, and it's crazy what hash.
It's Donnie, like the Kobe beef of hash.
Yeah, are you hip to hash now?
Hash is just, it'll just put you right to sleep. It's just too heavy.
I was too high.
But that's why this stuff should be legalized. We can have the marijuana light, marijuana strong.
Right.
And you know what you're actually purchasing. And the biggest point, why not tax this stuff already?
I don't even give a shit about that, although I do. But how about you just... Look, here's the thing. Out here in SoCal, I tell everyone, look, just get yourself a dwarf lemon tree, throw it in your backyard, and grow yourself some Roma tomatoes, and you won't have to go down the hill. You always have a lemon. Nothing worse than just making the one trip for the lemon.
Right.
Nothing worse than when you're cooking some fish or something. You have everything, but you're missing a lemon. And you got to go to the goddamn store just to get the lemon. So I always tell them, do that. And grow some Roma tomatoes, too. Mine's just coming in quite nicely. Thank you. Donnie, why should you be getting in the car to go get weed? You should just have a pot plant in your backyard. That's the whole point.
Like, well, yeah, I agree about that. That's number one.
It's just a weed that's growing outside.
Is it hard to grow?
No.
It would be weird because then it would be like having cases of liquor in your backyard. And if you're not home, your kids are running around. I'd rather go to the store and buy it just as a safety thing. And I'd like the FDA to get on it and start regulating it and measuring it and tax it. Let's turn it into a professional thing.
Yeah, I agree. I did talk to the editor in chief of the Times, Los Angeles Times at the time, who was a friend, a boxing student of mine, and I was telling him, you know, well, who cares about prostitution? Who cares about pot or, you know, a lot of drugs for that matter? And He made the only compelling argument I've really ever heard for this, which is it doesn't hurt anyone and who gives a shit. But there is a thing where here's the kind of society you'd like to live in, and here's the kind of society where you just, who cares? You know what I mean? And some of these rules, it's like prostitution. I'd like prostitution to be legalized. On the other hand, I'd kind of like to live in the society that doesn't legal that shuns prostitution somehow.
Well, it'd be fine. Like, you could go to Nevada. Let's say they legalize it, and then Nevada is totally cool where you can go, like,
yeah,
Amsterdam.
I know, but then everyone, but I don't like Vegas. I know it's not Nevada. Nevada is kind of lawless.
It's far enough away.
It's kind of fucked up. Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Do you want that here? Like, there's a part of me that goes, of course, just legalize prostitution. Of course, just make that legal. And, of course, make marijuana legal and all that. And I'm for it. But I do understand that argument of there's chicks walking down the street. Okay, they're licensed and they're smoking a joint, and I'm driving past them with my kids in the car. And it's kind of like, all right, now where are we in Amsterdam?
Well, yeah, like the dispensaries are – you're right. I don't kind of like them because there's still this weird element that hangs out there and is –
yeah,
selling, like, you know, the hookah pipes, and they're open late at night. They're not open in the morning, and
right.
There's still a criminal element, I think,
right,
associated with the dispensary.
Right. Well, anyway, there's a couple down the street from.
Still cool. I'm glad that it's starting to evolve.
This is the beginning of the end for those who are into the prohibition.
Well, this is a new iPhone app, and it's already in the top three most popular, according to The Sun. The other two have to do with drinking and porn. There's a mixologist that tells you how to make drinks. Mm. And then I think it's like a Sports Illustrated swimsuit application. So it's not really porn.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely, I don't think it's women selecting swimsuits.
It's definitely an Apple thing, though. An Apple crowd thing. The PC crowd. Have you seen the guy from the commercial?
Yes.
It's all fat and pasty.
Yeah,
he's uptight, man.
He's not into cannabis.
He's not into this. He's wearing an ill-fitting suit from the 70s.
That's why I don't want a PC. I don't want to be associated with him.
You want to hang with that dude?
No, I want the guy who's banging Drew Barrymore,
yeah,
right?
That's right,
Justin
man.
Long.
Yeah.
It's cooler.
From the last Die Hard movie, man.
That's
I could
right.
chill with that dude.
Yippee-ki-yay.
He's cool, motherfucker.
I know.
Yeah. The other guy's all, like, he's overweight.
He's out of it.
He's not taking care of himself.
No.
Seems like he's wearing pomade in his hair.
His clothes don't fit right.
Have you seen his frames?
Yeah.
Squaresville, daddy-o.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to do any computing with that machine at all.
Well, speaking of porn, here's a story out of Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
A guy got caught.
You know, like, on his computer, his app,
yeah,
on his PC phone,
yeah,
be like, hey, man, here's where you can find the nearest clip-on tie.
That's the number one app on his PC phone.
Yeah, and then pocket liners is number two.
Yeah, and then...
man girdles is number three.
Right, there's that.
And then where you get bad horn rim frames is number four.
There's an app that tells him where all the meetings are of Virgins Anonymous.
Yeah, and there's a place where there's an app that'll tell you where you can find stores that sell mechanical pencils.
That's
dude's
pretty much
lame.
What he's totally, he's so lame.
So lame.
Also,
and
all
brown shoes.
Please. And all the music on his stupid PC phone is like Mariah Carey.
Oh, yeah. And Kenny G.
He doesn't even know who Weezer, he thinks Weezer is the kid with asthma he was friends with in junior high.
Oh, man. He don't know nothing about Modest Mouse. He's Squaresville, man.
Wow, that commercial's so effective.
It really worked on us.
I don't want to be anything like him.
No, I don't want to party with that dude. All right, where were we?
We were in Toronto, where mm-hmm. a man was driving. He was speeding, in fact, and watching a porn.
Mm.
Somebody complained about him. He was pulled over by cops. They caught up with him. He was alone in his car. He had an X-rated movie playing on a portable DVD player in the car's front seat
mm-hmm.
while he was driving.
Yeah.
Now, you think to yourself, if you had pulled him over and you were the Toronto police, obviously this isn't something you do unless you're altered. You don't decide it's a good idea to put your portable DVD player in the front seat, fire up some porn, and then speed unless you're high.
Right.
So they gave him a breathalyzer test, and he blew within the legal limit.
Mm-hmm.
32-year-old man, he was charged with speeding and operating a motor vehicle with a television visible to the driver.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, every car has a DVD in it now, and all the gangster rappers have the thing that has the, you know, it's supposed to be a nav system, but it'll, you can watch a DVD when you're driving.
I was trying to figure that out, if this is just a Canadian law, because the TVs I've seen, they're usually facing the back seat, like so kids
Yeah,
can
they're
watch
in the headrest.
Right.
And I think there's guys that modify their cars so that the nav system like comes up, but they can show whatever DVD, you know, I mean, look, I know how the gangsters work and I know how the brothers work, and you can't go more than 10 minutes without seeing Scarface. Like they'll physically have a seizure if they don't watch a scene from Scarface.
Right, it's
every
medically necessary to put the DVD in
right,
the car.
Right, so they have to watch Scarface. Yeah, putting it in a clamshell and, you know, having it in a clamshell and putting it on the drive on the passenger seat, that's no way to go.
Do you think it was that he wanted to mix the speeding with the watching of the porn, or he just couldn't go any amount of time without watching porn?
Well, you know, that there's a couple things. Like, you know, if you rent porn, a lot of guys don't want to wait until they get back to the shack, you know what I mean? Right. On the other hand, what if there's an old lady back at the shack? You can't take care of business,
right.
You know? But that's why you should just pull up to Lover's Lane and watch the submarine races with yourself.
Right. I mean, I've gone to Astro Burger, and I get some fries,
yeah,
and I eat those fries.
Yeah, yeah.
In the car.
It's that same move where you put it on the passenger seat, and you're driving, and you're reaching into the bag.
Yeah.
And you're not enjoying it because
no.
You want some ketchup.
Yes!
And you're like, but you don't have time for the ketchup, so you reach into the bag, and you're feeding them to yourself.
Have you ever tried to do the ketchup while you're driving? You put a little on each fry, but you know it's not safe?
Ketchup while the driving, you know, doesn't work. I don't know if I've ranted about this on this show, but the ketchup packet, I mean, by the way, there's certain things in life that, like, constantly evolve. You know, computers don't go more than 10 minutes without a next generation coming out. TVs, all electronics, obviously. But even eyewear and footwear just constantly, like, design-wise and comfort-wise, and everything just moves forward. Somebody signed off on the ketchup packet in 1956 and walked away and made some sort of proclamation. We'll never do better than this thing that gets all over your fucking shirt,
right,
that you have to fucking milk like a goat to get just an ounce of this shit out. Where, by the way, you willy-nilly, in today's Purell world, where you just put this thing in your mouth, God knows where this thing came from, right? It was on a container ship.
Right.
It came over from China.
It's been handled by 20
covered
people.
Melamine. It's
yeah.
It's been handled by 3,000 people, not to mention the unemployable guy who's barely hanging on over at the Astro Burger, who tossed it into your bag with his grubby hands.
Yeah, he had just wiped his swine flu-y nose.
He just popped a zit in the men's room, and now he's in there, and he's throwing the shit in, and it goes in, and you don't take the ketchup packet and go like, well, I'll clean off the top of it. Nope, right in your mouth. What else do you just put right into your mouth that way?
Right in your mouth, and then on your food.
It's so crazy, too, because we're living in a society where if a guy shakes hands with another hand, he'll hit the Purell bottle
right
on the way back. If a guy goes into the bathroom, he'll wipe down the toilet seat 10 ways to Sunday, and then he'll make that little fashion, that little ass gasket out of toilet seat and then out of toilet paper, and then like do a weird squat where his ass doesn't make contact with the toilet seat. But the ketchup packet, right in the mouth. And you're tearing at it, and your saliva's getting on it, and it's mixing. And you always... You get that little shot of ketchup in your mouth. Then you get that little piece.
Right. Yeah, the piece of the plastic.
Yeah. Now the thing's actually in your mouth. That weird plastic that
right
has been handled by God knows how many people. It's probably dusty and crappy. I know if you wipe that thing down, we'll find rat feces,
we
traces of rat
that
feces on that.
We should send it to the lab.
So you do that thing, split that thing. When you tear the thing off, it always tears down the side a little bit too much. Never goes across the top. They're like, well, we're not going to give you a way to easily open this thing. Nope. You bite onto it. You tear it. It tears down instead of across. Then you do that thing where you try to get a little of the fry out, gets all
right
in your fucking hands and your shirt. Put a little. Try to do that thing like an artist where you put a little dab on top of your easel, but your easel is the box that the burger's in.
Right.
You dip it onto that. By the way, where's the box been?
I'm telling you, they should do a study the way they did on hotel bedspreads.
Yes.
But they just let you eat. They let you put the packet in your mouth.
And then you take it and you milk it onto the lid of
right
the box.
And it's never, ever, ever enough. So you're putting in your mouth usually 3 to 5, maybe more packets.
Yes. By the way, the second they came out with the McNugget, where they had the dipping sauce thing where you tear the top off
right.
it, that's it. That's the day the packet should have died.
I can't
packet
believe
gone
it.
Gone that day. And don't get me started on the teriyaki sauce with the goddamn what is the sushi fucking
wasabi soy sauce?
Soy sauce, a soy sauce packet. That's a bigger abortion.
Right.
That goes right in the mouth, but that stuff is not viscous.
It's not viscous
enough.
And it
spills
splatters.
Right out. Splatters all over the. What's up? Couldn't put that. We don't have other containers.
No, by the way, 100% of the time I buy some sushi at Trader Joe's and I have to eat it in my car.
Comes
that
with
ends
that.
Up on me.
Yes, comes with that little that.
And I tell myself no. No soy sauce if you're going to eat in the car, but then I try to mix it and it ends up on my lap.
Couldn't it come in a little, like one of those little plastic airplane bottles that you get your booze out of?
That'd be perfect.
Perfect. Just make a little miniature. You know the ones, you know they make the little miniature Tabasco bottles?
Yeah, those are cute. It?
How about you put the fucking soy sauce in that?
I would
love
that.
It's in the packet. No. Cannot improve. There's zero. This cannot. Whoever invented that packet must be laughing his ass off. Because he's like, this record has stood like Bob Beeman's long jump record. Like, whoever put this thing in the packet first must have went, this has got to be temporary.
Right.
Somebody's going to best this in about 10 minutes.
I mean, this thinking would mean that all computers would still take up the size of a room and
right.
NBA basketball players would still play in Converse.
And shiny shorts with belts. Yeah, and do set shots.
Right, exactly. I mean, no jump shots.
It is absolutely insane how long this packet has hung on. There must be some kind of lobby
Monopoly or
something.
You think
there
the mob's controlling it?
Some nefarious forces are at work here. Because this is, and like I said, I'll bet you the same guy who's Purelling his way through the day happily puts 5 or 6 of these things in his mouth and happily squeezes them out. Then there's that weird move you do where you take your forefinger and your middle finger and you make a scissor out of it. You clamp it down and you pull it.
Try to push out all the ketchup.
Try to push it out, but it always ends up getting that
on
your hands. Ketchup is one of the condiments that you will consume by the gallon, but if some of it gets on your fingers, it's gross.
Yeah, sticky.
It's like, ugh, what is this? Maybe it's the blood color. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but someone's got to do something with the packet. Like, yeah, on the lid of the thing. God knows where. The only thing that's got more shit on it than that ketchup packet is the lid that the same guy with the SARS folded out and put the burger in. You're putting it on top of the lid, too. Not even inside part. On top.
Yeah, that's your palate.
That thing just sat on a pallet and was in the back of a steak bed truck and came over from, like, Arkansas. Right on top. And no one ever cleans them or anything.
No,
it's not
no.
like the guy wipes the thing down before he hands it to you.
No, you're right. I've never given it a second thought using my mouth to open that ketchup, and now I realize it's disgusting.
All right. Here's what we must learn from this lesson, everyone. Not about how many germs there are, how foolish we are, about how none of this shit matters.
Right.
All that wiping the hands down, all that stuff, it's all nothing. Because if you were going to get sick, you would have done it from the 200,000 ketchup packets you put in your mouth that were God knows where.
I don't know how we got from the porn in the car. Oh, the watching the porn in the car was like eating the fries in the car.
Right.
A very quick note, because sometimes I like to give my porn recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
Sexaholics is a 1980s era porn that I've recently seen. Now, we talk about the 70s porn, which is excellent. The 80s porn, this is the only one I've seen. It was really good.
I agree.
There are going to be some really lacy bra and panty sets, kind of a Madonna look, and some bad nails and some fuchsia lipstick. But the bushes are a little better in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
In the 80s, they were a little trimmed down. And this one is a story of a group of people who are sexaholics, and they go away for a weekend retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And you can imagine that things go wrong because they're all sexaholics trying to recover. But they do not.
Who's in this thing? Nina Hartley.
I did not recognize any of the people, but I'm very new to porn, but I didn't recognize any of the people. And it's ironic because the woman who's leading the support group, she's also addicted to porn. And during every break, a different couple gets together or sometimes three people, mm-hmm. and they are obviously slipping. They fall off the wagon
sure.
at every turn. This whole weekend's a disaster.
Well, when you get all these sexaholics together, and a camera crew, for that matter, you got to figure they're just not going to sit out on top of Mount Pinos and make lanyards. I mean, there's going to be some sexing,
right? It's a weekend gone wrong, but yeah, and one of the guys is a tennis pro, but his whole career is falling apart because he's a sexaholic, and they're all really trying, they're genuinely trying to get help for their sexaholism, but mm-hmm. it ends up being a disaster, like I said, including the leader of the group, who she tries to keep things under control, but it ends up going very badly for her.
I got to say, you know, 70s porn is great, 80s porn is great, even early 90s. It's just the newer stuff, the angry porn, as we talk about all the time. Everything is shaved. There's tattoos. There's piercings everywhere.
Oh, there's, like, gross gagging and drooling.
Too much spit flying around. And the chicks are actually angry at the cock now. They're angry.
Right, yeah, they're mad. And with good reason, because it seems like the cock's always trying to hurt them.
Yeah, yeah. And they're talking to it. Fuck that pussy.
Let this. Ugh.
Yeah.
Not in the 80s.
No.
And they kiss and make out in the 80s.
Yeah, they all just seem like college students who didn't want to be uptight and were trying to work their way through grad
school. Yeah, they really do look like nursing students who ran out of money.
Yeah. All right. So porn recommendation.
Sexaholics.
Sexaholics.
Very good. Okay. We like to report on news from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And because I know that's your favorite state.
Sure.
Summer in Florida is even more interesting. This story is out of the Tampa Tribune. A guy was robbing a house,
mm-hmm.
and it became very easy to identify him from his photo because this 19-year-old had a tattoo on his face of the state of Florida.
Wow.
He also had the phrase crazy cracker on his head.
Mm-hmm.
And when the victim of this home invasion saw the photo, she was fairly certain that this crazy cracker with the state of Florida tattooed on his face was the same 19-year-old that had robbed
Not
him.
Good for a Germany or Florida, but great for definitely not a Jew, right?
I wanted to make it a Germany or Florida, but I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say, let's see. Here's his name, Sean Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
So he entered the home, he made threats, he forced the victims into the bathroom, he stole some consumer electronics, some prescription drugs, some cash, and they charged him and arrested him based on his identifying tattoo.
Yeah, we're just looking at it now. It also kind of looks like the Goodyear insignia if you look at it right, which is just a sandal with some wings on it. It's got a little bit of that to it. And although, I mean, to be fair to Crazy Cracker, I'm sure when the cops punched into their computer, like their Dade County computer, how many criminals in their database have the word Crazy Cracker tattooed on their forehead? 64,000 came up, and then once the state of Florida tattooed it, narrowed it down to 29,000.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, that place. You know, that place, it really, Florida gets white people to do things they would never dream of doing outside of Florida. It really does.
There, I mean, I could have chosen.
If Bill Gates moved there, he'd be, like, beating the shit out of his wife, get himself a couple of tats on his head, and he'd just be tweaking the whole time. Really, it's whitey at his worst, Florida.
No, you're right. You could take, you know, Gore Vidal mm-hmm. and move him to Florida, and he would leave his kids in the car so he could gamble.
Yeah. You'd be talking to Gore. He'd be drinking like a Sunny D with with pop-off vodka in it that
right.
he carried around with him. And he'd just be playing nickel slots at an Indian casino, and his kids would be burning up inside a minivan.
Sure. And then Gore Vidal would get in a fight, you know, at a pool hall, and he would lose a front tooth, and he would just leave it. He would not replace the tooth.
And he'd be like, hey, Gore, your kids are out in the Astrovan, and you know, it's the middle of August, so you're going to crack a window. And he'd be like, yeah, your pussy stinks, whore. Now give me some more nickels.
Or me and my buddy Noam Chomsky are going to kick your ass.
Yeah, that's right. You're fucking lucky Norm's getting 5150 now. He's going to be out in under 72 hours, and we're going to come looking for you, whore.
Noam Chomsky and Gore Vidal, when they move to Florida, they decide that they should drive around with a bat and just hit people's mailboxes.
Yeah, or like a paintball gun and hit bums. Shoot bums.
Oh, set them on fire?
Yeah, they'd have like a pontoon boat inside 20 minutes, or they'd be fishing off a bridge. while traffic was just blowing past them. It's enough to corrupt even the whitest man.
It's true. That state does something, and I'm telling you, summer is worse because there were a dozen stories I could have chosen.
Sure.
Out of Florida today that were very similar.
Well, when it gets warm, it's sort of like white trash and criminals in general. They kind of do what insects do. You notice how, like, when we've had a heat spell over the last couple of days out here in SoCal, and you just notice, like, weird bugs on your ceiling of your house, or you open the front door, there's a bunch of shit, but you have to go through, like, a storm of shit to get past your front light, like, at night, like, your porch light will be on, it'll be just activity. I feel like criminals and dumb people, when it gets hot, they get energized. They start, you see them moving around. You see them out more. Like you see people just like 12:30 at night, and they're walking around like out in front of their house and shit. I don't know. Maybe it's not having air, or it's just being dumb, or maybe it's being more insect than human. But there is a calling. Like when it gets hot at night, it gets people the fuck out of their house, and it just gets them into other people's houses.
That's right. And when you add the humidity of Florida,
yeah,
it's just a swamp.
Right.
Okay. Your friend, Baldwin,
mm-hmm.
Alec Baldwin,
mm-hmm.
Who has not come on the podcast yet.
No, we had a back and a forth for 2 weeks while he was out here. And finally came down to the day he picked, the day he could do it. The day he could do it was the day I had to do my run through, my network run through
for
my TV show. So we had him booked, and then I had to do that. But I talked to him 28 times.
I don't know if you've read the interview with him in the July-August Playboy.
Well, he shot a movie out here, and he was not excited about the people he was working with or the director he was working with whatever it was.
Because an angry Baldwin
awesome.
Is the greatest.
Awesome, yeah.
He gave an interview with Playboy, mm-hmm. and I'm just going to touch on some of the topics because it's just he's completely brilliant and he's not afraid of he's not afraid of Harvey Levin, for example,
mm-hmm.
Of TMZ. Here's what he had to say to Playboy. Everybody knows Levin is a human tumor. A graceless character who lives in that weird netherworld.
I love graceless.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
He just is so articulate.
Yeah.
I don't blame those pathetic people. They are what they are.
Yeah.
Essentially, he said Harvey's Harvey.
Well, it's true. I was watching TMZ with my children last night. And they just had some poor guy. I don't know. It was like Ryan Felipe or one of those actor, one of that level actor guy. And he was out at some cafe sitting outdoors just sort of waiting for a sandwich, and he picked his nose. Now, the whole thing about picking your nose when you do it in a still shot, you don't realize, it just seems like that's what you do.
Right.
Like Ryan Felipe walks around with his finger shoved up his nose, you know, takes his driving test that way, dates that way, like finger never leaves the nose. It's sort of, there's a famous picture. One of the most famous pictures of Muhammad Ali is when he knocked down Cassius Clay, as when he knocked down Sonny Liston. And when you watch the fight, the picture is him holding his hand and with a clenched fist in front of his chest, elbow bent, hand in front of the chest, sort of yelling like, get up, sucker, get up, sucker. And it's like one of the most, it's right up there, right on the screen.
Yeah.
So one of the most iconic pictures of Muhammad Ali is the hand, upper left corner, by the way,
clinched, yeah, I've seen this photo.
Clinched fist, doing that. Okay. Standing over Sonny Liston, who's down. Now, if you watched that fight, when he knocked Sonny Liston down, he stood over him with his hands by his side, like you know, get up, sucker. And his hand went this fast. Boom, boom. Like he wasn't holding it there. He wasn't holding it to his side, going, get up, sucker, get up, sucker. He was yelling, get up, sucker, with his hands by his side, and I imagine he said sucker because that's the vernacular back then.
Sure.
So, get up. So he was going to get up, and for a split second, his hand went to his side and came back again, and that's when the picture was taken. So I'm saying Ryan Felipe could have just picked his nose for a millisecond, but it goes. So I'm watching TMZ.
He's going to float like a butterfly and pick like a bee.
There is Ryan Felipe. Or whoever it was. I can't remember the celebrity. But here's a poor guy. He's just sitting out there. And they got a picture of him. He's picking his nose. And now it's on TV at 6:45.
This was just a second of his life captured.
But on the other hand, you can't. So you pick your nose, and someone takes a picture, and then we just do a whole thing where we play
and
clown
I'm sure
music.
They play it over and over,
and
in
they
slow
play it over
motion,
and over, and they go close on it, and they go back on it, and they laugh about it. Like that's the kind of society we'd like to be in. And by the way, you guys are selling commercial time based on this picture. There's going to be a commercial for Sunny D in 10 minutes. Where is the fucking, where's his paycheck?
Right. And the even darker part is that what we want to see this guy be embarrassed or humiliated right. just for doing something that we probably all do.
Oh, my God. My God. I told my assistant Jay yesterday, I was fabricating some cabinets in my garage, making them out of metal with our buddy Rudy. Donnie knows him well. I had a drawing of it on the passenger seat of my car. And I said, I was down in the garage, and I was talking to Rudy, and I was trying to lay these things out. And I said, oh, Jay, the drawing of the side cabinets, it's on the passenger seat of my car. Go grab that. Jay ran to the car, came back 2 minutes later, had the piece of paper with the drawing on it, and pointed out the huge dried booger.
Oh, no.
That was on it. Oh. And he said, you must have wiped this off while you're driving. I was like, yeah, come. I had to do that. Doesn't look like my booger.
Oh, God.
Sometimes.
Oh.
A lot of the time, I will, you know, have a guy drive me around in my car while I'll sit in the back seat
right.
while he wipes his boogers on, you know, important documents.
Everyone
that are on
knows
my front
you
seat.
Do that. Everyone knows that. That
occasionally. Not right. every mile I cover is covered that way.
No.
But, you know, I will cover some terrain that way. So it could have been that guy. Can't remember his name. So then it was one of these things where I had to scrape the booger off before I handed it to Rudy because I can't go, oh, here, by the way, here are the specs on that side cabinet and enjoy the booger. We take that back to the shop, too. So I had to do the scrape the booger off thing. And
did you use a ketchup packet?
Boogers don't come off in one.
They don't?
Well, let me explain. There's a top part so that gross. Snaps off immediately, but the base.
It clings.
That it's like a tick, you know what I mean? Or the, like or a bee, when you pull it out, the stinger stays in you. The top part of the booger flicks off, no problem. But the ghost in the body of the booger, the part of the booger that sinks in right. and bonds and becomes one with the notebook paper, that's there.
And now when you've taken this booger off.
The ghost of the booger does not leave.
And it leaves like a chalk outline even when it's all off?
Yeah, it's like a crime scene.
Right.
By the way, I have to talk to Jay about this. You know what I mean?
Why did he even bring this up?
Here's your booger paper.
I was going to say, this is not
a good assistant.
We just ignore it. Or
Lloyd, Ari Gold's assistant, would have discreetly picked the booger off.
And never mentioned it.
You're
right. Absolutely. I was just thinking, this is a conversation that would never, ever take place between two women. We do not talk about
here's your booger page. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. A truly excellent assistant might have just disposed of it, and you would have never been humiliated.
Yeah, well, the point is, these guys are profiting off people picking their nose and coming out of the beach and having a booby pop out and all kinds of shit like that. And they make money off it. And my whole point is stars are compensated for their likeness. It happens all the time. I mean, obviously, the ultimate is I'm making a movie. You're paying me to show up.
Right.
But if you want Tiger Woods to hold up your watch and take a picture of it, and I'm going to take a full-page ad out and put that in the Robb Report, you're going to have to pay Tiger Woods $8 million.
Oh, absolutely. Even if I want Roger Federer to wear my Izod shirt when he's playing a tournament, I'm going to pay him.
Right. That's what works. That's how it works. Now, you're not taking pictures of my old fuck neighbor picking his nose. You're taking pictures of celebrities picking their nose. And celebrities get paid when you take their pictures, whatever, even if it's not a product they're holding up. Here's the deal. You profit from this picture. I'm going to sell more Izod shirts than I have to pay Federer.
Right.
Right? That's my plan as a business. So this is the greatest business of all time, which is I get to take pictures of celebrities doing things all day and profit off of them, yet I never need to compensate them.
There must be some weird loopholes, like they're out in public or it's considered news footage.
In a society that's as litigious as ours and a society where you can't take anyone's name and do anything with it or likeness and do anything with it in any way, shape, or form. If you write a song that has two notes that sounds remotely like a Who song, you will get a cease and desist, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But we can just take pictures of celebrities all day long, wherever they are. And by the way, even if it's on their own property.
Right, I mean...
And it doesn't have to be the public library.
Right, I mean, you mentioned, like, you know...
And by the way, in a restaurant, it's not public property.
Yeah, I know.
That's the guy's restaurant.
Sometimes they're looking through the glass from the sidewalk.
How about when the guy's in his car?
I don't know. You said you don't want to live in a society where, you know, prostitutes walk. And I don't want to live in a society where
there's Ryan a picture
Philippe,
of me picking up a prostitute while I'm picking my nose.
Yes, exactly. Why can't he just pick his nose in peace? I don't care about him picking his nose.
I don't know.
I get a little, even though it's awful, I get a little bit happy if Misha Barton has cellulite because I feel better about myself.
I know, but the woman's been institutionalized now.
Right, after
probably
her 51
because
50,
of that.
Right. I mean, it's you're right. I mean, she was under siege.
Oh, listen, for a woman, especially a young woman, if you get up by a pool and walk a couple of feet and there's some laughter, you'll be throwing up for the next 3 months, right?
Oh, my God,
imagine
yes.
You and your cottage cheese, you know, splashed all over the television set.
Oh, it's horrible. I mean, as a teenager, I wouldn't walk from a towel to the pool or from the sand to the ocean without you get up and you strategically have your towel nearby and then you wrap it around your waist
right.
And then you walk down and then you leave it, you know, by the pool and then you go
right.
in.
I always knew that meant fat ass. All right. Well, that's a good place to stop.
And that was Adam Teresa back in 2009. And that will do it for today's episode of Corolla Classics. We want to thank everybody for listening and tuning into this show. Corolla Classics returns tomorrow with our special Sunday episode, so make sure to subscribe to the Corolla Classics feed in order to get that, and we will see you there. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Super Fan Giovanni.
Mahalo, and get it on.
That episode of Corolla Classics was brought to you by Geico, because if you own or rent, then look, that's hard work. So let's make it easy for you by bundling those policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing because you already got so much going on. So this is what you do. You go to geico.com, you get a quote, and see how much you could save. How easy is that?
Well, Mr. Loxamana, I believe it's Geico easy.
You are 100% correct. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.